Well, welcome to the first recorded episode of Voice of Reason Radio for the year 2017. We made it, folks. We made it. We got through the most bizarre year in American history, at least for those for our lifetimes. We have survived 2016. 2017 is on is no longer on the horizon. It is a fact of life, and now we are starting fresh. And myself and my good friend Richard Story are both with you here tonight to, well, to start off the new year, we're going to take a look at the end of, or how things ended last year. Rich, we were supposed to do this last week, weren't we? But I dropped the ball, so to speak, again, didn't I?
Well, no, it wasn't just you, brother. I mean, both of our homes and families, like so many around the country right now, have been battling this flu, cold, crud, bug, whatever you want to call it, that's been, you know, watching some of our friends online, it seems like it's been running rampant throughout the entire country, and more people this year than I can recall ever have mentioned the fact that either they've been suffering from it or someone in their family's been suffering from it. So, you know, we're just blessed and thankful to be here tonight, and we pray and hope that the listeners will find this show helpful.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, no, it was funny because we had hoped to record one final program for 2016, do a reflection on the year, and lo and behold, not one, not two, but three members of my family came down with the creeping crud. It started with my youngest getting strep throat. I had taken a couple of days off because I just got generally sick. On my second day where I was recuperating, my youngest starts complaining about a sore throat. The next day, my wife takes him in and diagnosed full-on strep throat. So doctor puts him on amoxicillin, sends him home, and he's starting to show a little bit better within a day or so. And then as we're going into the holidays, my wife comes down, and she almost never gets sick. My wife comes down with the creeping crud, and so does my oldest. And, I mean, sick to the stomach, trips to the bathroom, fevers, the whole nine yards. And so by the time we were supposed to record this show last week, I'm telling Rich, no, there's no way. I got to go run to the store. I got to get medicine. I got to get soup. My household is like quarantine zone. Stay away. You don't want to be anywhere near this. We were in bad shape last week, so. You know what? God was gracious to us. He gave us 2 weeks off. You know, it was kind of like, you know, no, I wanted you to take some time off and quit, you know, chatting in people's ear or screaming in people's ears. Let them have a rest. So I'm going to make you sick.
It was kind of like around my house. I mean, we went through that same kind of stuff without the strep throat, but, you know, I kissed my wife goodnight, and, you know, we're touching almost ear to ear, kissing the back of each other's head because we don't want to spread it from one to the other. And it's like, you know, sit around passing the Germex, you know, and we're sitting here constantly wiping in it, and, you know, almost can buy stock in Lysol spray because we're going through so many cans of it trying to keep all these little germs killed. Yeah, yes, I'm somewhat of a germaphobe. I don't like getting sick. My body and coughing and sneezing do not cooperate, so yes, I do all I can to avoid it. I've been sitting here eating vitamin C tablets like M&Ms and
oh man, yeah, you know, most people have to worry about computer viruses. Between the two of us, we're more worried about the real viruses. It'll take you out in a heartbeat. But again, thank you, folks. Thank you so much for allowing us those couple weeks off. We pray that your Christmas and your New Year's were a wonderful time. Rich, you and I talked about it before the show. It was one of those years where it just, you know, for a variety of reasons, you know, it just didn't quite feel the same. And I think part of that is, you know, we have a nostalgia of what the holidays used to be. And certainly our seasons, as they come and go, as we get older and as the nation has changed, doesn't quite feel the same. So, but you know what? You get to be with your family. We get to worship the Lord and remember his birth and his incarnation is part and parcel. It is really at the heart of the gospel is the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And the new year, meaning a new season, a new lease on life, so to speak, in that God has given us yet another day with breath in our bodies, another year to serve Him. So we pray that that was how your new year and your Christmas treated you. We know there's always the hustle and bustle, the rushing to get the Christmas presents wrapped, to the hustling to family events. It can always be stressful. And if you were one of those people that perhaps that doesn't happen, you didn't get to be with family. You don't maybe have family that you can be with. Perhaps you're one of those people who work in armed services, or you work in medical or first responder fields, and you just simply weren't able to be there. Or perhaps the holidays are a stressful time because of family conflict, because things that go on during that year just make it so hard to love and honor your family. We pray for you. We pray that God, in all of that, has ministered to you. He has comforted you. And He's reminded you that King Jesus is still on the throne as we enter into this new year. So if you had a difficult Christmas season, a difficult New Year's, we pray for you. We pray that things will be a reminder that God is and always has been and always will be in control, and that you can trust Him because He did not let those things happen by accident. There was a purpose and a plan behind them. Not in the 40 days of purpose style, Rick Warren purpose, but God will be glorified in all that He allows to occur, and He will use it for your ultimate good if you are in Him. So please, starting this new year, keep that in mind. So Rich, with those things in mind, we are going to start the new year by looking back at the old one. What do you think of that?
Oh, well, I haven't always done this, but it's something in the last 2 or 3 years that just kind of developed in my own life as I look forward to the coming year, and then I kind of stop and take a reflection at the year that's leaving, not so much to try to say, okay, I accomplished this, this, or this, but just to kind of see where my walk in Christ has taken me, and to kind of stop and reflect and realize that, you know, I'm not where I want to be in Christ yet, but I have managed through His grace and His help to make it, you know, this far on the journey, kind of like the pilgrim's progress, you know. And I know I'm kind of getting off track a little bit, but if for anyone that's ever really, really read that book, it is a really good reflection on the life of a Christian when it comes to the journeys and to the struggles and to the pathways that we seem to find ourselves on at different seasons in our life, brother.
Amen. You know, that is a fantastic book, especially when we think about sanctification. I think you said it excellently. We're not where we want to be, but we look back, looking back where God has taken us and where we are now. If we do that, if we have that balance of looking forward to where we yet need to go and looking behind where from whence we've come, I think it makes it that much easier to give God the glory for where we're at. You know, and like you, Rich, it's easy to, you know, I think we can forget to do this, and I think it's great that you do it, and we all should. When you look back at the year for us, I mean, we started this, you know, about a year after we had, you know, after Cross Encounters had, you know, shut down for a time. And so it was about a year before you and I did this, and we back and forth talked about it, about whether we would do one or not. And you know me, I was, you know, I'm an introspective nut. You know, I'm constantly guessing and re-guessing about whether I should do something. And so it took a while before we did this, and I'm grateful. But you know, at the same time, I recognize that in and through just doing this program with you, God is challenging me because I'm re-examining myself. It's like, dude, you need to put more time and effort into preparing this because there's people listening, and you want to do right by them, and you want to do right by God. And so this year, just in doing this show, has challenged me in the way I think and the way I do things. So for that, I'm extremely grateful, that especially because you were the one that pushed to you know, for us to do this, and I'm grateful that you did do that.
Well, brother, I'm grateful for all the technical work and research and studying that you've put into it and finding us a format to do this and to not have to rely on Blog Talk Radio like we did back in the days of Cross Encounters Radio. But as you were talking about this, I went back and looked. Our very first episode of Voice of Reason Radio was April the 30th of 2016, and tonight makes show number 26. So we'd like to thank everyone that's listened. Even if you haven't listened to every episode, we just would like to thank you for the time and the episodes that you've given to us and listen to what two unworthy rebels have to say with each other.
Amen. Amen. 26 episodes. So that's basically subtracting the times due to technical difficulties, absences, illnesses, work-related. That's a half a year's worth of recordings that we've put into this. And by God's grace, we're still going. We're still going. And that's with spit and baling wire because we still can't afford the shoestring for the program. So, Rich, I echo your sentiments. I'm grateful for those that have hung with us since April of last year and have listened to us all through the years or through the year and, you know, who've been so supportive, who've come along with us on this little journey and encouraged us to continue to be a part of it. And, you know, actually would be disappointed if we couldn't make a program because something went down. You know, guys like our friends in Anonymous who, you know, continue to share us, folks like KT and others who constantly share our programs, the amount of encouragement and technical support we've gotten from people like Landon Chapman and Nate Pickowitz over at Intriguing Favor, Ryan Muniak at Witness Radio, you know, Ricky Gantz, who brought us on to G220, not once but twice. You guys make this so much fun, and we are so grateful for your support. We've gotten to know wonderful people like Pastor Gabe Hughes over at Wawut Ministries and the people that we've been blessed to interview, got people like Greg L. Sasser that we had on last time for his book, having Nate Pickowitz on for him when he wrote his, and Tony, our mentor and the one who got us involved in this, Tony Miano, when he was out there doing the Police Lives Matter, and you know, being our first guest on the program. You guys make this program happen, because we've said it before. We don't have a program without listeners. We don't have a program with all the people who have supported us. So thank you. That if that's the first thing we can talk about, Rich, it's the fact that we're blessed to have that God allowed to basically know nothings. I mean, we have a, you know, operating level understanding of Scripture. We study and we try to show ourselves approved. You know, being good students and good stewards. But God let us do this. He put us in this position to make it happen, and he's given us followers and friends who have supported us throughout it. And for that, you know, if there's one thing that I would love to start this show out with, it's that we have a show, and we're grateful for that and for God who allowed it to let us do it and for those who have been there with us on the journey.
Amen, brother, and I echo everything that you just said. And, you know, it seems like that, you know, compared to some podcast shows, we may not have like the numbers that they have, but I am so thankful because the downloads that seem to have each week are consistent, which means that most likely it's the same people coming back week after week after week listening to us, and I am so thankful for that. And whether we have one person listen or 1,000 people listen, I am so thankful and so grateful to Christ for allowing us to share our thoughts and our opinions and what we've learned in the Bible with others around us, my friend.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, we've had just under 2,000 downloads since we started this, and that's not a huge number by any stretch of the imagination, so we're not trying to pat ourselves on the back, but that means on average about 75 downloads per program, and we can only have that because you guys are gracious enough to go out there and do it. And so thank you. Thank you for that. So, Rich, I've got a few topics that for myself kind of point to a theme throughout that kind of encapsulated 2016. But before we do that, why don't you throw us one of your thoughts for what this last year meant to you and what you saw throughout it?
Well, I'll start. I'm just going to share a few of my own personal reflections from this year. And don't make a mistake or don't misunderstand me. What I say I am boasting, but I'm boasting in the Lord, and I'm boasting in the fact that the Lord has allowed me to do certain things, and I'm boasting in the fact that the Lord has allowed me to live another year, because with my situation in my life, I've grown to really appreciate every day and to not look towards tomorrow, but take it one day at a time, and to try to focus and concentrate on the now and not get caught up and really worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. And which to me has been one of the confirmations that I'm truly saved, because that goes completely against who I was prior to salvation. I was a very worrisome person. I would constantly worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. I'd be worried about what's going to happen 6 months from now. And it distracted a lot of stuff, distracted me from a lot in my life, because I was never focused in looking at the now, which is something that I do now since the Lord chose to save me, and it is something I'm extremely grateful for. But in some ways this year has been something completely different for me versus the last 10 years since my wreck. I have spent more time at home this past year because of my disability and health problems. I've spent more time at home this year than I have any other year since the accident. I've spent more time in my room and in my bed than I have any other point since my accident. And I got to thinking, well, you know, what do I do from one day to the next? What have I actually been able to accomplish? And at first I really thought, well, you know, I spent this whole year, I did Voice of Reason Radio, but that's been pretty much it. But once I got to thinking and reflecting and looking back on what the Lord allowed me to do and what the Lord allowed me to learn this year, it was really, really surprising to myself. First, this show means more to me than probably you know and our listeners know, because not only does it edify me because, you know, I get to spend time with you, but especially with some of the topics that we have on our show, it forces me to spend more time in Bible study on those particular topics. And I've learned quite a bit just from doing research for the show this year. And for that, I thank you, brother. I couldn't do this without you, and I truly appreciate you being here with me on this radio journey.
I thank you. Believe me. Go ahead.
One of the things, looking back this year, I became a grandpa for the very, very first time in my life, and she's fixing to turn 10 months old, and she stole my heart. She has Papaw wrapped around her little finger already. I mean, she was born March of last year, and you know, she's standing and trying to walk, and probably the happiest, smilingest, laughing, giggling-est little baby I've ever been around in my life. And you know, it's just something special in your heart. And I know for some of you that are parents of toddlers or infants can relate to this, but I guess for me, being a grandfather, and it's been, you know, so many years since my children were that small, it just fills my heart with joy when I see her, and her little face just lightens up and she smiles and sticks her little arms out wanting Papaw to sit here and hold her. And that's been just a treasured blessing to me that just means more to me than what I could ever express. And I give thanks to the Lord for blessing our family with this child, and blessing me with the opportunity to spend time, even though she's still so little and doesn't understand, but the opportunity to spend time reading the Bible to her and just sitting here and talking to her and teaching her how to clap and playing with her and doing small, simple things like that. It's just been a truly a blessing. I think one of those reasons is because when my children were so small around that age, I worked, you know, anywhere from 45 to 70 hours a week, and I missed out on a lot of that time in their life when they were tiny little babies. So that has really meant a lot to me. My oldest son got a really good job, and he moved off this summer to New Orleans. And, you know, that's been rather a mixed blessing. I'm glad to see him growing into, you know, growing and developing into a self-sufficient young man, especially given a lot of what we see around the country that we'll speak more about later for his age. But, you know, that's been a mixed blessing. Glad to see him growing and stepping out into the world and, you know, developing. But on the same time, it's been a sad time for our family with him moving away, being so far away from home. And just like this year, he wasn't able to be home for Christmas because he couldn't get off work. And him and his aunt and several of his cousins were coming home this weekend for Christmas. And then the South gets blanketed with a small sheet of sleet, snow, and ice mix, so they're not going to be able to come here because they have to drive through Jackson, Mississippi, which is pretty much shut down. And if any of my friends in the North listening, don't laugh at us. No, we're not equipped in the South to handle even a half inch of snow and ice. It closes everything. But one of the greatest things for me this year was when 2016 started, I took an example from you and several other brothers, and I changed up my reading plan for this year, and I decided to go and to read one book of the Bible each month and to read it each day, or to read, you know, most of it each day, or and to study that book of the Bible for that month. Well, I started out, and my method of doing that evolved over the course of the year. And I went back and looked through my notes, and I didn't realize, but I had actually managed to go through and study verse by verse 11 books of the Bible from the New Testament this year. Now, granted, some of them are some of the shorter books, but just because a book of the Bible is short does not mean that there's not some very deep theological understanding and biblical Amen. Meaning to it. But the Lord blessed me to go through the book of Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st John, and Jude. And out of all of those, I think three of the books that impacted me the most was probably Jude, Galatians, and 1st Thessalonians. And I'm looking forward to this year in continuing with that, and hope and pray that the Lord will bless me in being able to accomplish that much in His Word this year. But also in the middle of everything else going on, I went back and looked and realized that I was able to complete my credentials and training as a hospital chaplain. While I'm not ordained as a chaplain yet, I have acquired the training and the credentials to apply for a denominational ordination, I guess is what they call it. I just haven't decided whether I'm going to pursue that yet or not. I really had personal reasons for wanting to acquire that training and to understand how to counsel and help other people. But that is another thing that the Lord blessed me with accomplishing this year. Also, I was able to obtain my associate's degree equivalent in biblical studies. Now, the reason I say equivalent is because this was a self-paced program that use the same teachings and classes as some of the major universities that offer an associate's degree in biblical studies, but this was not accredited and it didn't offer a degree. But I really wasn't, to be honest, was not concerned about the piece of paper. This is something I wanted to do for my Lord and to learn and to grow in my understanding of the Bible. And if the Lord will so bless me this year, I hope and pray that I'll be able to complete my bachelor's equivalent in biblical studies this upcoming year. Plus, I've started a course in learning Greek, and that one's going to be a huge challenge for me, I'm going to tell you. But what little I've done in it so far has been a blessing to actually start being able to learn a little bit more about how to pronounce these Greek words that I see. And also, I don't know if I've even mentioned this to you, but I looked last night, and I don't remember for sure if it's page 10 or 12, but I've got the first 10 pages of my book written that I've been wanting to work on for some time. And I'll just share this tidbit out there. It's somewhere between I cannot talk. I've gone too long. I knew I should not have talked this long. A mixture between a bibli. All right, brother, help me out. It won't come out.
All right, wait, hold on. You broke up on me. What were you trying to say?
I said, okay, you're going to have to help me. My tongue is all twisted and tied. I can't get the word to come out.
And what's the word you're trying to get me to say?
Yeah, you just want to hear me butcher it. Bibliography.
Well, yeah, actually, bibliography. There you go. Well, see, you knew it. You didn't need me.
It's a mixture between that and a textbook, and that's all I'll say about it right now. But I pray and hope that it can be used to help guide and direct new Christians to solid biblical resources and to other books. So we'll just wait and see what the Lord does with that project. I'm sure I'm forgetting something, but these are the ones that jump out in my mind, and I just would like to thank the Lord openly and give praise to Him for allowing me to accomplish this, especially given the fact that I've spent more time at home and in my bed than I have anywhere else this year. And even with all that, I was still amazed at how much time I wasted this year watching television.
Amen. Amen. You know, before I talk about the more public things that I saw during this last year, I want to take a page from what you're doing right there and talk about with the reflections of that I saw for myself this last year. You know, if you don't know me personally, you see a snapshot of who I am online. And I think a lot of people think more, I don't want to say more highly of me, but probably have a better expectation of me than if you knew me. This last year has been a bit of a challenge on personal levels, because I look at my walk with Christ and I know the areas that I struggle. And I said it before, Rich, I do belly button gazing better than anybody I know. In fact, it used to drive Tony absolutely bananas during our cross encounters days, because I would question everything. And that man would want to come through Skype at me just like, stop it. in some ways, 2016 proved to be a bit of a challenge, because you and I took on a new role, and that was running the program, running this ourselves, putting these things together ourselves. And in 2015, when I took my leave of absence from Cross Encounters, it was because I began to question my part in this internet machine where people were doing ministries left and right, and so much division was coming out of it. And so I've spent a lot of time during the last year I've tried to overcome that, that questioning. But then it's like, oh, wait, we have to be responsible for putting this together. We have to be responsible for putting out a product that not only is edifying to the saints, but honors God. And here I am working a 40-hour work week. I got kids who are entering the preteens. Pray for me, folks. One hits teen in 2 months. my first teenager in 2 months. I'm so not ready for this. And so, Rich, you've done so much for Voice of Reason Radio and so much for Slave to the King that people don't know about. 90% of what goes out publicly as far as tweets or social media that is done by Voice of Reason, it's Rich. It's not me. And so many times I'm plagued with doubt. So many times I'm plagued with questions about why I should be doing this, because I really don't think I know what I need to know. And folks like you, Rich, come along and you encourage me, and you pat me on the back and you tell me, I'm what I'm doing is what it should be, that it's glorifying to God and it's beneficial to the saints. And yet I still can continue to struggle. And then watching what happened during 2016, one of the big events that just gutted me like a fish was watching my chosen career field become the subject of so much attack from political entities, from the media, literal attack by people who were killing police officers just because they'd been told that we are bigots and we hate people and we want to kill people. Watching Christians join in that. In fact, that's one of the reflections that I saw in 2016 that I want to talk about. It working in law enforcement, I hit 18 years literally 2 days ago. 18 years in law enforcement. And I put a tweet out. I says 7 years to retirement and it still feels like a lifetime away. I don't want to speak for all law enforcement officers. I won't. But there's a reason why law enforcement industry has one of the highest suicide rates of any industry there is. And it's because you see a side of society that nobody wants to see, gets to see, puts them in a position to see. And it is, you do that year after year, and it weighs on you in ways that I cannot explain. When you're dealing with the general public who thinks they know their job, you know, your job better than them. When you're dealing with the criminal element who does everything and anything possible to get away with violating every law of God and man. When you deal with family members of said criminals who just simply cannot seem to understand that you're there because their son or daughter or loved one broke the law and you have a job to do and they want to take you apart for it, and the whole time you have to be the most professional person in the world because the entire world is watching. And not only that, because your job demands it. It's hard. And there are days and weeks and months where my wife has had to deal with me going, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this anymore. And, you know, Monday morning comes around and I got it, that alarm goes off and I struggle getting out of bed. I say these things not to make y'all feel sorry for me, but this is what I had to reflect on during 2016. That I am not in any way, shape, or form the man of God that many people think that I am. And that is, I struggle with my own study time. I struggle with my own prayer time. In fact, prayer is one of the weakest parts of my Christian walk. God forgive me. I do not lead my family as I ought. We are not sitting by the fire doing hymns and great praises of prayers and Bible studies, to where my kids are these geniuses of theology. I'm like every other person. I come home at the end of the day. The kids have been strangling each other. My wife has tried to get through the homeschooling day as best as she can, trying to get dinner on the table. And the last thing anybody wants to do is sit down and do a Bible study. And yet I sit here week after week and I'm talking to Christians about how to walk worthy, about what the Word of God says about how to deal with an issue from week to week. And I look at my own life and I go, if they only knew. it's a struggle, folks. It's a struggle. And so,
brother, I'm going to interrupt you. I'm going to interrupt you for just a moment. But listeners, everything that Chris just described, if we're honest, that would probably fit 99% of us that are listening to this program, myself included, because none of us get it right all the time, every day. And that is the personification of what it means to be a Christian, is to knowing that you struggle with sin, you struggle with these issues, but you keep fighting on. And what Chris just described is the personification of most Christians in their lives and their family lives today. And it doesn't matter whether you're accomplished, you know, okay, it's not a matter of marking it off a checklist and say, okay, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we did, as a family, we did all this. But as an individual, as a parent, it's the desire to want to do better. It's the desire to want to lead your family, to teach your family. It's the desire to want to glorify and honor God as, in Chris's case, as a man, as a head of the family. And it takes a great deal of courage for someone to come on air and to make that announcement that Chris just did. And I think if more of us are more honest with each other and honest with ourselves, we all would look and see and realize that none of our lives are where we would like it to be in Christ. But the key is to look and make sure and know that you're seeing some improvement, that, you know, you are engaged in the fight and the struggle, and you're not like so many of them in American evangelicalism today that think, well, I'm saved, I can do anything I want to now. And Amen. One other thing, when Chris was saying, you know, about his particular career, it's under scrutiny and being watched by the world. Today, it literally is being watched by the world. I mean, you know, if you're a regular listener, you know, Chris is in law enforcement. And in today's world, law enforcement is watched more heavily than anything else. And while I'm not an active member of law enforcement, I've spent a little time in that arena many, many, many decades ago. But I do have a lot of friends, and I have a lot of family that are members of the law enforcement community. And I would ask, from me asking you as a listener, to please be praying for our brothers and sisters that wear a badge and put their life on the line every day of the week to protect people that, you know, most likely when they die will spend eternity in hell. And they're, as law enforcement officers, their job is not only to protect us, but they're there to protect bad guys from bad guys as well. So I just kind of wanted to put that out there and to thank you for sharing that portion with us, brother.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. And please understand, folks, like I say, this is not for me to say a poor me session or to give you, you know, to tarnish an image in any way. But mostly, if we're going to be honest and we look back and we reflect, we recognize the difficulties as well as the blessings. With all of that said, the challenge for me has been to overcome those doubts, those plaguing fears and struggles, knowing that God is in control of all things. My default setting is to try and do something to fix the situation. And a lot of times God doesn't let us do that. He continues to put difficult situations in our path because we want to be in control. We want to be the God of our lives. Even as Christians, we struggle with that. We want to be the ones who are sovereign, so to speak. And I think God allows those continued struggles for that reason. And so for myself, for the reflection of 2016, is to recognize my default setting puts me at odds with God, because I look to my circumstances and to whether or not I've accomplished a preset parameters to say, hey, look at me, I'm a good Christian. So that's probably my personal reflection for 2016. Part of the reason that so much of that came out, and Rich, you and I've talked about this, and we've even talked about it on the show, is what we saw happen to evangelicalism. And we've got about 20 minutes left in the program, so I'm gonna kind of take these three topics and mush them into one real quick, and then we can talk about it real quick. But we saw something happened in evangelicalism, but I think it might be more correct to say something was revealed about evangelicalism in 2016. And starting with the topic of law enforcement, we saw during this year and even in the year before, actually, where the allegations that were so incorrect in so many cases, that law enforcement specifically target a certain demographic, and that demographic was more at risk than anybody else at the hands of law enforcement, despite the fact that there have been repeated studies done, some by the FBI, others done by private entities who actually had an axe to grind with law enforcement and found out they were wrong. But the narrative was pushed, and this year, more so. And what we saw in evangelicalism was a willingness by high-profile, ostensibly sound Christian theologians to jump on board with that narrative for fear, in my opinion, for fear of not appearing sensitive to the demographic involved. And I'm trying to be careful about my words here because I'm not wanting to sound racist in any way, bigoted in any way. But my issue is the high-profile evangelical support of a narrative that is really and honestly truly false. Look, I'll be the first one to admit, my chosen career field draws from the same sinful humanity that every other career field does. And we've got guys and women out there who have done despicable, horrendous things. And in my opinion, not only should they lose their badge, they should lose their freedom when they do it. And if they have done certain things like shooting a man in the back as he runs away from an officer, that individual gets his just deserts when he stands before a jury of 12 and is found guilty of murder. So I will say that without question. But what I will not cotton to and what I cannot stand is when people are not willing to let the investigation be done, the automatic assumption of guilt. Because, hey, the officer pulled the trigger, so therefore he must be guilty. I don't care which demographic it is. There are people that complain, but whether it's white, black, Asian, Hispanic, they will just automatically assume the officer must have done wrong. And we saw high-profile evangelicals. Albert Mohler was one, a man I deeply respect. We saw Tabidi Anyabwile, who's been doing this for a couple years now, jumping on board. And of all people, Russell Moore. Russell Moore, who stood by repeatedly condemning law enforcement in his posts, retweeting, sharing articles and information that simply was not true, and giving evangelical support to a false narrative that ultimately led to the death of numerous officers this year. Now, I don't blame solely Russell Moore or Al Mohler or Tabidi for those deaths. But when you take the weight of Scripture, you are respected theologians. And right now, Russell Moore is having to fight his own denomination because he doesn't want to back Donald Trump. Okay, I respect him for that. And I respect that he's taking a moral stand. And he's got to battle his own denomination. And that denomination's a problem. You got a lot of problems to begin with. But that man repeatedly went after law enforcement to court those whom he felt were not getting some sort of evangelical support. And when the day came that officers died who were assassinated protecting a protest, those like myself who took him to task were blocked by him on social media because he didn't want to answer tough questions. Evangelical support of a lie. Scary, disturbing beyond measure. Because of the emotionalism tied to it. We saw evangelical support for a man who is now the president-elect. Now, not everybody did it this way, but a lot did. Evangelical support for a man who, by all measurable standards, actually had a worse moral standing than Bill Clinton when he ran for president, evangelicals took Clinton to task, Bill Clinton to task, for his moral failings, but could not wait to rush in and support Donald Trump. Just couldn't wait because the man talked tough and he wanted to reverse the course of what our current administration had done. And they, and any opportunity to support him, they were there. And if you brought anything to evangelicals who said this man, you know, to them to say this man has zero moral credibility, oh, we're not electing a pastor. That's scary. When just decades before, these same evangelical institutions were condemning a man, in my opinion, rightly, for a position that he should not have been in, Bill Clinton, because of his moral failings. These were the same people who said character matters. And when it came to this one, nope, character didn't matter. There were people who said, you got to put the Bible aside to get the job done. You gotta put Christianity aside to get the job done. That came out of Liberty University. That came out of one of the candidates who eventually was called really bad things by this same candidate, Ben Carson. He did the same thing. You gotta put the Bible aside to get the job done. That was evangelical support this year. And then we even saw it when Andy Stanley said, you know what? Christianity doesn't rise and fall on the Bible. It just rises or falls on the resurrection. So stop worrying about the Bible. Quit making the Bible the center of Christianity. Now, I give Russell more credit this time. He actually held him on that. And Andy, from what I understand, did not like that. So this is a place where I'll give Russell more some props. But then there were Christians who came out, people like Frank Turek. Yeah, we name names here, by the way. I don't know if you guys realize that. We name names here. We do. We aren't afraid of naming names. Frank Turek, who backed him. Why? Because Frank Turek is an evidentialist. He's not a presuppositionalist. And evidentialists, when it comes to apologetics, believe that if you show enough evidence, people will believe. So the Bible is really not your source. The Bible is just one of many possible evidences. So don't need to really worry about it if Christianity is just preached solely from the Bible. Then that's a presuppositionalist thing, and we don't support that. So we need to do evidence. But there were Christians who supported Andy Stanley as he stood from the pulpit and condemn the use of the Bible as our source material. That was happening in 2016, and I think it revealed something, Rich. And folks, forgive me if the stuff I've said during this last half hour seems like I'm being negative about 2016. 2016, I think, is going to go down in history books as the year we lost our minds. I've said that before. But this happened. This happened to Christianity. It was exposed in the Christian circles. And I think it all points to theology matters. What you believe about God affects what you do. And we saw it exposed. I think 2016 revealed that seeker-friendly Christianity is absolute trash. Because it does nothing to give Christians the answers. I mean, we saw, you know, churches jumping off the bandwagon as fast as they could, or the Bible, to jump on the pro-homosexual bandwagon as fast as they could. Hey, that guy did it, I'm supporting it. That guy did it, I'm supporting it. Why? Because there's no grounding in the Bible. So when I say my personal reflection this year for the struggles that I dealt with, they go back to what does Scripture say and the need for me to be grounded in the Word of God. And I look out at what happened in 2016, especially within evangelicalism and the bizarre things that we supported. And I go, I can see why when I don't do it right and I'm not in the Word of God rightly and in prayer rightly, how it affects my life. How can you guys not see it when you are doing some of the strangest things and supporting some of the strangest narratives possible? If 2016 taught us anything, and Rich, I know you and I agree on this. If 2016 taught us anything, it is our desperate need for repentance as an institution, evangelicals as an institution. We got to repent of our indifference, repent of our Madison Avenue techniques, repent of our man-centered thinking, and we got to get busy with the Word of God. Because without that, we get 2016. This is what it boils down to. And I'm going to leave this with one challenge to all of you who think that that kind of support and that kind of those kind of actions that were justifiable by evangelicalism in the last year, and somehow we just got to get behind these ideas and we got to make Christianity hip, we got to make it cool, and we got to support the right candidates so we can get... You know what God does to nations who reject him and his word? Read Isaiah. I'm reading that right now. Chapter upon chapter of condemnation by God and the judgments to come for wicked, evil nations that have rebelled, who have rejected the word of God and have done things their way. If you think God is this lovey-dovey, doesn't care, you just got to make things comfortable, you better bury your nose in the book of Isaiah. And if you want to know what Isaiah is talking about, then go back to the history books, man. Go to from Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles. Bury your nose in the history of Israel and look what was happening to the nations and look what was happening to the kings who rejected God's authority. And then you see why God's justice is true. Bury your nose in the Old Testament and learn something, because I'm learning a lot. And that's the first time as a Christian I've taken the time to really try to read it that way. We so desperately need a God-centered theology. And I think 2016 revealed that, Rich. What do you think?
Well, brother, in addition to what you said about Isaiah, I think every Christian, every church, every high-profile pastor, regardless of, you know, whether it's Russell Moore or some of these others, I think this country, if you claim to be a Christian, you would do well to do a deep, deep study on Ecclesiastes and then turn around and do a deep, deep study on the Song of Solomon. And the reason I say that about the Song of Solomon, that's the book I'm currently studying. And you need to remember that the church is the bride of Christ. And Christ is very, very jealous of his bride. So those that go out and taint the wedding gown of the bride, better beware, because the Bible gives tons and tons of warnings against those that would be pastors and teachers that do not stand on the Word of God and adhere to what the Word of God has to say. And as far as 2016, with everything that you just mentioned that occurred within American evangelicalism, I take just a slightly different view on it. I actually look at it and think, wow, that's actually very encouraging, because Christ is making it known who are his sheep and who are his goats. And sadly to say, I would call 2016 the year of the goat, brother. Chris, are you still there?
Oh, yep. Sorry, brother. Thank you, AT&T. Thank you for interrupting us again. Yeah, you know what, brother? I think you're right. I think you're right. You know, there's one thing that we have to remember with each year that passes by is King Jesus still sits on his throne, and he always has his remnant. Always has his remnant. So you're right. It is encouraging to be able to see that in the midst of all this, there is still a bride that is as pure and beautiful as she can be, not because she is of herself gorgeous and beautiful, but because Christ has made her beautiful through his glorious righteousness that he's poured out upon it. So yeah, that, you know, I think there's a day coming you're going to see the true bride of Christ, you know, exposed for all the world to see, because the world is going to want to take it and destroy it. And I think what we're seeing, Rich, you're right. It's you're seeing the separation. You're seeing the separation. And all I can say is 2016 shows God is still sovereign. 2016 shows God's bride is still there and Christ is still on his throne. But it also shows us the desperate need we as Christians have to remain steadfast to the Word of God. That is our only source of all that is right and good, and we need it desperately. And Rich, what I'd like to maybe wrap this up with our last few minutes is what our hope for 2017 is going to be. What would you like to see happen through Voice of Reason Radio and in our nation as we go into this new year?
Well, I don't know if you could necessarily say it as a hope for 2017. Well, I guess you could, but I was saved in 2010, and in the course of that time between the summer of 2010 and now, since I was saved, I have seen an explosion of true Bible teaching, true biblical exposition of the Word of God on social media. Granted, we complain about social media a lot, but I have been watching and observing really hard for the last several months, and there's more and more and more brothers and sisters that are sharing solid resources online that have ever before, and I think that is extremely encouraging. We have so many brothers and sisters that are having, you know, larger families, and I'm talking solid brothers and sisters that are actively engaging in evangelism, and I'm watching the next generation of gospel warriors being raised up and seeing more and more people that are getting out and leaving tracts and handing out tracts and sharing the gospel. There's probably more people right now sharing the gospel, and I'm talking the true gospel of God right now, than probably there have been ever in the last 100 years. And that is so encouraging. And please, please keep doing it. And if you have been doing it, please keep doing it, increase it. And if you are not actively sharing the gospel, please get involved. Please get engaged. One thing I'd like Voice of Reason Radio to do is if you're not sharing the gospel and you want to learn how, you want to learn how to articulate the gospel, you want to know about resources for tracts, if there's anything, and I mean anything, that we can do as Voice of Reason Radio to help you, to encourage you, please let us know. We will do all that we can to support you and to help you. You know, there's tons and tons of resources out there. My favorite is, and probably always will be, the basic training course from Way of the Master when it comes to sharing the gospel and to just simply handing someone a gospel tract or going down the aisle of a store or Walmart or something and leaving a tract on a shelf. I mean, you would be absolutely, let me rephrase that. We will all be absolutely amazed when we get to heaven and realize one or two little things that we did actually made a huge impact in someone's life. And we need to be praying that the Lord uses us, that the Lord allows us to learn and to grow and to understand, allows us deeper and more fellowship with Him, and teaches us and convicts our hearts to be sharing the gospel with others. And one thing I'd like to continue into 2017 is to keep encouraging you to please make it a point to share the gospel at least once a day, whether it's in a conversation, handing out a tract, leaving a tract, or if it's simply sharing a gospel link online, because you never know how God may use that one small, simple act, brother.
Amen. Amen. Well, folks, if there's one thing I hope that 2017 reveals, is, as my brother has said, is that there are, the bride of Christ continues to be active, to be obedient to the word of God, to be obedient to the command to go forth and make disciples. That's my hope for 2017, is that this year, now that the craziness is behind us, we take stock of where we stand, take stock of the church, the professing church, and that we step up and we be a prophetic voice, not in the sense of foretelling the future, but forthtelling, preaching the gospel, that we step up and we be a prophetic voice into this culture that desperately needs to hear the word of God. We can no longer assume that we are a nation that understands where morality comes from, where laws come from. You talk to people about the word of God today, they don't get it. They don't understand it. So we need to be the people who know the word of God and preach the word of God everywhere we go. The election's behind us, folks. Let's be done playing the politics game. Make 2017 the year of the gospel. The day that the church stepped up and we identified the false teachers in our midst and we kicked them to the curb. We preached the true and unadulterated gospel. We got rid of man-centered thinking and theology. We dropped the Madison Avenue techniques, that we decided to pursue Christ and Him crucified and risen King who is Lord over all, that we pursued holiness and righteousness, that we were a peculiar people in the midst of a wicked and a lost generation. That's what I want to see for 2017. And it starts in our homes. You've heard Rich and I talk about how this last year caused some reflection in our own lives. Start with the reflection of yours and where God would have you to be. Don't be introspective like me. Please don't do that. But just take stock of where you stand. Commit yourself to the Word of God. Commit yourself to His service. Start in your home. Start in your church. Look, how many of us are out here using the internet and being a voice, but we're not all always serving in our churches? Start serving in your church. Clean the toilets. Help in the children's ministry. Do the things that nobody wants to do because you can't be seen doing it. Serve. Humble yourself before the Lord. And I include myself in that. I'm not just saying it for everybody else's benefit. Serve the Lord. And let Him use you where He puts you. And if you're like me and you struggle to think that your job, where God has you earning a paycheck, is just some sort of secular thing, but the real service to the Lord is some sort of ministry, no, God puts you somewhere. That's your ministry. Serve Him. Be a good servant to your master. Love your wife. Love your kids. Let the world see what a true Christian does, who is sold out for Christ. You don't have to be a radical living on the streets in a cardboard box ministering to the poor. You're radical in your home. Be a shining example to your children. Pour out your heart into them. Pour your heart and the gospel into them. Love your wife. Love your husband. Make your family a shining example of the gospel at work. Let's make 2017 that. And if there's any way, Rich, as you said, if there's any way that Voice of Reason Radio and the Slave to the King website can contribute to that, that's what we want to be here for. We're not asking you to make our ministry, I hate to use that word because we're not per se a ministry, but making our efforts a success. We want to make you a success. We just want to be a tool that God has used in some minor capacity to maybe just put hone that tiny bit of an edge to the sword that you are, that God is using. That's what we're here for. We're here to glorify God and edify the saints. That is what we exist for. Nothing more. If we ever become more than that, God shut us down. It's not about us. This ain't about promoting us. It's about Christ and Him crucified. That's what I want to see for 2017. Rich, any final thoughts before we close it out?
No, brother. I think you summed up everything very, very nicely, and I agree with absolutely everything that you said. We'll let the listeners know that we, in keeping with what you just said, we want to try to do more to help the brethren and provide to the brethren. As we're able, we're going to try to start giving away some things to edify the body, starting with between now and, I say probably we'll announce it the first episode of February. We would like to offer for free, and we'll have to limit it. I don't want to call it a contest, but we will be giving away a New King James Version of a full-size waterproof Bible to someone. We will figure out some way to choose the recipient. And like I said, I don't want to call it a contest, but I would love to be able to provide a waterproof Bible to everyone that wanted one, but you know, the resources are extremely limited, so we'll give away one a month until we're not able to any further. But just simply, whether it's on a Facebook, Twitter, the show feed, the website, wherever, just comment that you heard this and that you would like the chance to receive a free waterproof Bible. And in the meantime, we'll work out some way of determining who will receive it. But just simply as that, you know, if you would like to receive a free waterproof Bible in the New King James Version, just comment on one of the feeds and let us know that you're interested.
Amen. Amen. Folks, thank you for being with us through 2016. Thank you for supporting us with your prayers, with your listening and your sharing. We are not a 501c3, so we do not take any kind of financial support. We can't. We don't have a ministry to support, so we don't ask for it. But we do covet your prayers. We do covet your listening and your support that way. Thank you. We are grateful for you. And thank you that you care enough about the Word of God that you support efforts like ours to promote the Word of God. 2017, let's make it the year of the gospel. No more man-centered thinking. Just Christ and Him crucified. Let's make that what we do. Thank you for being with us on this first show of 2017. Heavy stuff, I know. Thank you for listening to me drone on a little bit about some of my own struggles and concerns that I saw. Thank you for supporting Rich and I the way you do. We look forward to spending 2017 with you. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week. Good night.